This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله والسلام عليه تسليما كثيرا. Amma Ba'du. Come to the issue number 13, and that is that the people of Al-Jahiliyyah, they used to have Al-Ghulu in their scholars, and they used to have Al-Ghulu in their righteous people. And it is, as Allah has mentioned, the Shaykh brings the ayah in the statement of Allah, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, لا تغلو في دينكم ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق. The next issue, Ikhwani, is similar to an issue that already passed, Mas'ala number nine. This issue is that the people of Jahiliyyah used to have ghulu. They used to have ghulu with and in their ulama, their scholars, as well as the righteous people from amongst them. Al-ghulu is one of those Arabic terms that everybody who doesn't speak Arabic, but we're Muslims trying to learn our religion, is one of those terms that we should know. Al-ghulu means to be extreme and to go overboard. It is the mujawaza of the had. There is a boundary. Al-ghulu is the person who goes beyond the boundaries. Salat al-Isha, and the Imam asked Allah, and we all said, Ameen, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. Not the path of the people who had ghulu to the right, or they had ghulu to the left. They went overboard in either direction. So it is mind-boggling that the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the most important, the most virtuous surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, is read every single day. People who are not practicing the religion memorize it just like people who are practicing the religion. And yet, we have people from our ummah who go overboard. They go overboard in their love. They go overboard in their hatred. But here, the Imam is talking about how the people in Jahiliyyah used to go overboard in their love, al-ghulu, raising people higher than the station where they belong. Big mushkila. We have the people of the different jama'at, like the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, for an example, if that's the group that the person belongs to, they'll raise the leaders of those groups above the station that they deserve, like Sayyid Qutb, rahmatullahi alayhi. We ask Allah to give him rahmah, to forgive him. But we don't call him shaheed every time we mention his name, because if he was a shaheed, he's going to be in Jannah. Anybody who sits here and says that a person who died from the coronavirus, wallah, he is a shaheed, you went overboard. Narju lahu dhalika. We hope that, but no one can emphatically state that. And even though the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person dies from a stomach ailment, for an example, he got drowned, a wall fell on him, got burnt, lady died while giving birth. He said that those people, they receive the shahada. But you don't know, I don't know, maybe that person during the course of their lives did something to cancel that out where they don't receive that. In the case of Sayyid Qutb, rahmatullahi alayhi, people believe that because he was executed and he was given corporal punishment. They killed him. So therefore he's a shaheed and his pen was the pen of a martyr. Don't say that. We have the people who are the people of Sufi, Tasawwuf. They go overboard and they raise their sheikhs above the station that they deserve. Some to the point where if the sheikh is in the grave dead, they make tawaf around the grave. They make dua to the dead person in the grave. Big mushkila. Big mushkila. And all you have to do is look at the different turuq al-sufiyya, the many different tariqas of Sufism. Tijani, they go overboard. Naqshbandi, they go overboard with the ones who passed and died and the ones who are living right now. And we have a religion that's telling us, be in the middle in all of your affairs. Be in the middle. So all of the groups are like that. The Rafida, people from Iran, Ithna Sharia, 12 imams. They said that their imams that they believe in, they have no dalil for that kalam about the imam. You're going to be on that religion, and if someone asks you, where's the dalil for these 12 imams? You're going to pull out a rabbit out of your pocket. Allah didn't reveal anything about those 12 imams. Or wallahi will be upon that. The sunnah didn't mention anything about those 12 imams. Or will be upon that. Some of those imams, and some of the people they choose to be from the imams, some of them are from the awliya of Allah, inshallah, from the grandsons and great-great-grandsons of the Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But they go overboard and they say that those imams have reached a level that is above the level of the prophets and the messengers and even the malaika. Ayatollah Khomeini, they said that about him. Ghulu is a mushkila. And you can just keep going on with the examples. Some people who claim the sunnah, I'm shocked. Some people who claim the sunnah, they go overboard with Sheikh Rabi'. They go overboard. If you go to Mecca, you don't visit Sheikh Rabi', then your Islam is suspect. What are you talking about? My Islam is suspect. That's ghulu. That's going overboard. It's not acceptable. I read things amazing. People said that the Sheikh, he knows the secrets that are in the chest, and he knows what is hidden. Only Allah knows the ghaib. Now, I don't accept that from people who are on Sufism or anything other than that. No, because our religion is clear. But I understand a lot of times Sufi people don't have knowledge. And they don't put emphasis on knowledge. You're supposed to be a person of the sunnah. One of the great statements of Imam Malik. And Imam Malik said, everybody from amongst us, every human being, his statement is accepted or rejected except the one who was in that grave, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's been said for centuries and for years, and everybody accepts that, at least theoretically. I read with one of those people who go overboard, and Sheikh Rabi said, everybody's statements are accepted or rejected except Sheikh Rabi. And you can't come and say, hey, that's ghulu. So we can't go overboard. One of the things that the people of Al-Jahiliyyah used to do is that they used to go overboard with those people were the ulama, and those people they perceived as being righteous. And this has been an ongoing issue and struggle and challenge with Bani Adam, as Allah mentioned in Surah Nuh. وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ They said, do not abandon your different gods. وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثْ وَيَعُوقْ وَنَسْرًا They said, don't leave those gods. Don't leave those gods. Don't abandon those gods. We get the tafsir of Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that those five names were the names of five righteous men who lived a long time ago. And every time the people would see them, they would remember Allah Azza wa Jal. And they remember being righteous and upright. When those people died, Shaitan came to the ones who were their contemporaries and said to them, hey, why don't you draw some pictures and make some statues, replica of those five men, and put them in your clubhouse, the place where you guys meet and hang out. When you see them, it reminds you of their religious nature, and then you guys will be religious. They said, what a good idea. So they made pictures of them, and they made statues. When those mothers and fathers died, their children came. Iblis came to them. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, Iblis said to the kids, hey, you see these five? You see these five? Your fathers used to worship them. And then that's how the people started worshiping other than Allah. Prior to that, people used to make mistakes. Adam's son killed his brother. Adam's son had envy towards his brother. People made mistakes. Adam went to the tree, how were they made mistakes, but they didn't make kufr and shirk. They didn't make kufr and shirk until pictures and statues were introduced to Bani Adam. And then Iblis came and used those pictures and statues to make waswas to the people, and the people went overboard. So through ghulu, people made shirk and kufr. That's why, ikhwani, we have to be ignited fires against al-ghulu. Salafis who claim this ghulu, I'm against that. And I won't be quiet about that. It's not an issue about going overboard or having an uqta. It's an issue. You people have tried to change this religion. We used to be proud about telling everybody, don't go overboard in this sheikh and that sheikh. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, Abdullah bin Mubarak, one of the greatest scholars of al-Hadith, of al-Islam. He was a mujahid. He was rich. He wrote a lot of books. He made hajj all the time. He used to bring his students to go and make hajj. After performing hajj, he would give them money. They buy gifts, bring it back to their family. He's Amir al-Mu'mineen in al-Hadith. Yes, Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith. He said that all of the people of this ummah, after Abu Hanifa, they owe him a debt of gratitude because of the fiqh, what he did in jurisprudence in al-Islam. And although that's the case, we used to say to people who are Hanafi, don't call al-Imam Abu Hanifa al-Imam al-A'zam. Don't say that. Al-Imam al-A'zam, the greatest imam. First of all, you don't know who's the greatest imam as it relates to the regular imams. The imam just read the ayat. Huwa a'lamu biman ittaqa. Allah knows best who has the taqwa. He just read that. Allah knows best who has hidayah, who has guidance. But the greatest imam in al-Islam is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who during the Isra wal Mi'raj, when he was taken from Mecca and he was taken to Bayt al-Maqdis before going to the seven heavens, and the imam read those ayahs as well tonight. Before going to the seven heavens, he led all of the prophets and all of the imams, all of the prophets and messengers who were imams. He led them in salat. He led them. So he's the Imam al-A'zam. The person comes saying, no, al-Imam Abu Hanif is al-Imam al-A'zam. Don't say that. Yawm al-Qiyamah, the person who says, I am the king of kings, the one who says, I'm the judge of the judges, going to be in trouble. You can't say stuff like that. Can't go overboard. We have to stay balanced because this issue of ghulu has changed the reality of our religion. Whether it is ghulu being too rough, too tough, or ghulu that comes as a result of love and going overboard. The imam brought the statement that Allah Ta'ala warned Ahlul Kitab, the Yahud and the Nasara. They went overboard. Ya Ahlul Kitab, don't have ghulu in your religion. And don't say about Allah except the truth. That's the ayah, the command. إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه فآمنوا بالله ورسوله ولا تقولوا ثلاث انتهوا خير وخير لكم. Don't go overboard. عيسى بن مريم is the messenger of Allah. عيسى بن مريم is the word that Allah gave to his mother Maryam. كن and he became. Be and he became. He is the spirit from Allah. So believe in Allah and all of his messengers and don't say one of three. Stop doing that. That's better for you. But the Nabi told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that our community is going to follow Ahlul Kitab. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرِ بْنُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَى عِيسَى بْنُ اللَّهِ الْمَسِيحِ بْنُ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. The Jews said, Uzair is the son of Allah. Some of the scholars who gave the tafsir of the Quran, if you go to Surah Al-Baqarah, after ayat number 255, ayatul kursi, comes the story of the man who was walking in the town and it was desolate and it was destroyed. And then he asked the question, Ayna yuhyi Allahu hadhi ba'da mawtiha? How is Allah going to give life to this town after it died? فَأَمَاتُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ ثُمَّ بَعْثَ. Allah caused him to die for 100 years, and then he brought him back to life. And the man started looking around, and things were the same for the most part. The scholars said of the tafsir, that's Uzair. He was a miracle. He was a miracle. And also the young Shabab, the youth that were in the cave, Suratul Kahf, that we read on Friday. The point here is, when the people came and met him, and he was dressed like people from so many years ago, he still memorized the Torah. He had all of this knowledge. He looked like a man who was different from everybody else. When he started talking, he blew everybody away. They said, you're the son of Allah. That's how you memorize. That's how you know. Always going overboard. Ghulu. Ghulu. Don't go overboard. Listen, you two. Someone may start claiming something. And he starts flying across the sky in this room. We're going to say, hey, we're going to take all of your actions and your deeds and your statements and judging by the Quran and the Sunnah, depending upon how they come out in the result, we'll give a judgment based upon that. You're flying in the sky doesn't mean nothing to me. Doesn't mean running across the water. You can run across the water all you want to. But if you don't pray after that, and you don't fast after that, and you're not calling to the Kitab and the Sunnah practice, we're going to say you're a shaitan. That's what Imam al-Shafi used to tell the people. If you see a man flying in the sky, running across the water, do not get fooled until you test his statements and actions with the Kitab and the Sunnah. People are going to come now with these magicians, dynamo, and all these kind of people. People come with their fake ruqya. People come with kalam. And we're quick and ready to throw our knowledge of the religion out of the window in order to have ghulu in someone. It's not our religion. It's not our deen. So this ayat is telling Ahlul Kitab, don't do that. And by default, it's telling us, don't go overboard. Don't go overboard. And when you're young, it's easy to be an individual who is easily influenced by others. So you may get a teacher, and you may get a person, and you really like that individual. That's okay. Respect them. But don't go overboard. Stay balanced. And this is why one of the greatest ni'mas that Allah can bestow upon a young person is that he guides that person to an imam of the sunnah. So that person of the sunnah will stop that kid from going overboard. And Imam Abu Hanifa was teaching the people. One of his tremendous students is Abu Yusuf. Tremendous student. His haris wants to write down what Imam Abu Hanifa is saying. Paying attention, not missing any class. Write it down. He said, hey, wayhak, Yaqub, hey, don't write down everything that I say. I'm a human being like you're a human being. I'll say something today, I'll change my position tomorrow. That doesn't mean he was mutaqallib over here one day. No. But like anybody else, you take a position in an issue, after time, you change that position. I think the niqab is wajib. Some time went by, studied it, I don't think it's wajib anymore. I believe the person who abandons the prayer is a kafir, even if he does it out of negligence and laziness, it's kafir. Some time goes by, changes that position. So what are you going to do when you write down everything that I say? So what he was trying to tell him was, pay attention. My words alone, Abu Hanifa is saying, they're not a dalil. You find a person Hanafi, not just Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi'i, Hanbali. You'll find the people from our ummah, Ikhwani, Sufi, Tablighi. You'll find them. He doesn't want to budge from what the leader said or the jama'ah said. He can't even say, hey, what the sheikh said, that he's ma'asum in the minhaj, that's a khata. That's a mistake. That's kalam farigh. What are you talking about? I can't go to Mecca. If I go to Mecca and I don't see the sheikh, then something's wrong with me? Nope. That's not the religion of al-Islam. Allah Ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned concerning al-ghulu. Iyakum wal-ghulu. Fa'innama ahlaka min kana qablakum al-ghulu fid-deen. Don't go overboard. Beware of going overboard in your religion. For verily the people who came before you were destroyed because they went overboard in their religion. The Yahud and the Nasara. La tutruni kama atrata al-Nasara al-Masihi ibn Maryam. Innama ana Abdullahi wa Rasuluh. Don't go overboard in me. the way the Yahud and the Nasara, the way the Christians went overboard with Isa ibn Maryam. Say, call me Abdullah and Rasulullah. Don't call me, oh, the best of us, the son of the best of us, and we have a Nabi that knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't say that. Just keep me in the position that Allah has put me. So this was one of the issues, one of the problems of the people from the times of a Jahiliyyah. The Imam brings that issue. And then he comes to the next point. And the next point, Ikhwani, is a very short chapter, and that is, he said, all of what has been mentioned, every chapter that has been mentioned already, is built upon a principle that the people had in the times of a Jahiliyyah, and he called it a nafyu wal ithbat, to affirm, a nafyu and ithbat, to confirm and to negate the meaning of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets and the messengers, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, to the people. And Allah, he affirmed, he made ithbat of a tawheed, that the people should establish tawheed in their lives, in their hearts, in their homes, in their masajid, on the earth. That's the dawah of the prophets and the messengers. Allah, athbatahu, he established that. The non-Muslims, they negated it. So what Allah established, they negated. And what Allah negated, they established. Every single point that went already, that's what he's saying. Allah Ta'ala established people who are downtrodden and they're poor. It's possible that the truth can be with them. Now, Muslims said, no, we're not going to follow you because the weak and the oppressed are with you. So Allah will establish, and they'll go the opposite of that. Allah told them, worship Allah alone. They said, no, we're going to make shirk with Allah. Allah said, don't make shirk. They said, yes, we're going to make shirk. The same formula, and nafyu wal ithbat, la ilaha illallah, I'm sure most of you have heard, it's that formula, la ilaha illallah. Allah negates, there is no God worthy of worship. Illallah, and then he establishes and affirms that Allah is the only one who has the right to be worshipped. But when those prophets and the messengers came with that dawah, those non-Muslims said, in hadha la shay'un ujab, this is a strange thing that you're calling us to, that we're going to abandon all of the gods of our fathers to worship one God. That's something that is miraculous, it's marvelous, it's amazing. We're not going to do it. We're not going to get too deep in that. It's a short chapter. We're done with that. Everything that went prior to this is a principle of the non-Muslims. They establish what Allah negates, and Allah, and they negate what Allah Ta'ala establishes. The Imam came, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and he mentioned that those people of the past also used to give excuses for not following what Allah revealed with and through his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his messengers salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. And they would use as an excuse to reject what came to them the fact that they didn't understand. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand what the prophet was saying. They couldn't understand his words. What was the point? So when the prophet came sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he called them to that which is easy to comprehend, easy to drink, easy. And that is the kalima of a tawheed. Someone comes to you and tells you that God is three, one in three. He's the Son, he's the Father, and he's the Holy Ghost. The Son must have a mother. No, he don't really have a mother. Well, how can one equal three? Three equals one. Isn't the Father all powerful? Why would he have to do that to stop the bit? It doesn't make sense to get your head around that stuff. And that's why when you debate Christians, it always ends with them with, you just got to believe. No, we just can't believe. It doesn't make any sense. Well, I help you to make sense of it. One equals three and three equals one. It's similar to ice in the freezer. It's water, right? Ice in the freezer. You take it out of the freezer, it melts, becomes water, but it's still ice, was the same thing. You put it in a bowl, in a pot, you boil it, it becomes steam. Are those the examples you give to Allah, to the Creator? Ice, to a boiled egg. On the outside is the shell, and then the white, and then the yolk. Are you serious? In Islam, we can't give those kinds of examples because Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Nothing is like unto Allah. لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Nothing is like unto Allah. You can't come and say, Allah is like ice. Allah is like the ice age. Allah is like global warming. You can't come and say that stuff. What are you talking about? We describe Allah the way he described himself and the way the Prophet described him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we don't take these liberties like that. We have to be careful. Sometimes you hear a person, he doesn't mean any harm, but they're just speaking. May Allah wrap his arms around you. Hey, what do you mean? May Allah wrap... What ayah said Allah had arms? What hadith said that? If you didn't read that, then don't step in that arena. Don't talk like that. Don't talk. Stick to what the kitab said, what the sunnah said. The sheikh, he brought some examples. Like the statement of the Yahud, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ بَلْ لَعْنَهُمُ اللَّهِ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. They said, our hearts are sealed. Our hearts are sealed. When the Prophet came, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew him. الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيِّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They knew him. He was mentioned in the Torah. He was mentioned in the Injil. محمد الرسول الله والذين معه شداء الكفار رحماء بينهم. You, all of those ayahs, tell us. They were told about his description in the kitab, in the sunnah, in the Torah والإنجيل. يعرفونه كما يعرفون أبناؤهم. They know him the way they know their own sons. They know him intimately because all their prophets and messengers told them about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he came with the dawah and he wasn't from the Yahud, one of the things they said was, قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. Our hearts are sealed. We can't hear what you're saying. We can't understand what you're saying. We don't want to hear it. We have enough knowledge where we're not taking it. So what they said effectively was, our excuse is we can't understand what you're saying. And one of the jobs, responsibilities of the prophets and the messengers is that their message is always going to be crystal clear. So that Yawmul Qiyamah, when Allah brings the prophet and the messenger and brings their people, no one from the people are going to say, I didn't understand. No, this da'i can speak in a way where people don't understand. And that one in a way that people don't understand. And that one in a way people don't understand. But the prophets and the messengers, kalla wallahi, they speak very fluently and very clearly because they have to establish the hujjah on the people. And that's why, ikhwani, some of the scholars of Islam, they said that tafsir of Musa, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, they said that when Musa was young, Musa took some coal and put it in his mouth and burnt his tongue and his lip, so he had a lisp. Scholars reject that. And that's because there's no authentic hadith that says that. And it goes against the prophets and the messengers because they were trying to figure out, why did Allah send Harun with Musa? Because Musa asked Allah to do that. Send with me my brother Harun, make a noble wazir. Strengthen me with my brother. Why something have to be wrong with his tongue, with his language? Huh? Why? Why? Suleiman and Dawood, his father, same time. Why something have to be wrong with his tongue? What? Why? Allah can send multiple prophets and messages. What's the problem? So as it relates to this issue, ikhwani, there are four people, Yawmul Qiyamah, who are going to be tried by Allah. That authentic hadith said, four people will be tried by Allah. One of them will be the person who he was majnun. So when the prophet came, he didn't understand what the prophet was saying. So his argument will be, I didn't understand what he said. Another person who will be tried is the person who is, I don't want to say retarded. That's not politically correct. You know, like deaf, dumb, and blind. Dumb is not a good word to use neither. But a person who is intellectually challenged. The prophet came to him. He couldn't understand the prophet. So a fire will be built for them, along with the one who died when he was very young. And the one who was senile, became very old. The prophet came, can't understand him. So the prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will have a fire kindled, big fire. And then Allah will tell those four people, jump in the fire. Whoever jumps into the fire will find the fire cool, like it was for Ibrahim. Whoever refuses to jump into the fire is going to go to the hellfire. And Allah will say to them, I told you to jump into the fire. You didn't jump into the fire. Had I sent my messenger to you, you would have rejected that. Now is not time to get into the meaning of that. Hadith and Imam Ahmed and other than him, some of them, used to be mutawakkaf. What's going to happen to those four people, Yawm al-Qiyamah? Some Dalil suggest they go to Jannah, and this Dalil suggests they're going to be tested, and some of them may go to hellfire. Now is not time to get into deep that, but the point we want to make is this. Those people will be tested, Yawm al-Qiyamah, because they didn't understand. They didn't understand not because of the prophet's inability to express himself. It was their situation. So the prophets and the messengers, they have this ability to make everything clear as it relates to the message that they brought. But the people are going to come and they say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? The next ayah that he brought was a statement of the people of Shu'aib. They say, Ya Shu'aib, ma nafqahu kathiran mimma taqul. They say, hey, Shu'aib, we can't understand a lot of what you're talking about. He's calling them to what will give them life. What is simple and easy? The religion of Al-Islam, when it came to the people, Allah didn't send the religion of Islam and the deen to the people. Only it's the deen of the most intellectual and the smartest people in the world. So therefore, the message has to be complicated? No. No. The way of the religion is as simple and as easy. Little man right here continues to make salat and fast, wear his bowl, be a nice Muslim, keeps doing ijtihad, keeps learning and memorizing. By the time he's 15, 20 years old, it's easy and possible for him to be the most knowledgeable person in his masjid. Knowledgeable about the deen, because it's there for anybody who has the ability to excel, not for some special group of really intelligent people. The da'wah is simple, but the people who say, you know, hey, Shu'aib, we can't understand kathirun mimma taqul. A lot of what you say is not resonating with us. Another statement that he brought as well, Ikhwani, was that he had said, so Allah Ta'ala made takdeeb of them, and he explained that the reason why Allah put that seal on their hearts is because of their kufr. They didn't understand because Allah put a seal on their heart because of the kufr. And that used to also happen. So it is really important that as we believe in the prophets and the messengers, everybody has to understand this. The hadith of Jibril, believe in Allah, the Malaika, the books, the messengers, Yawm al-Qiyamah and the Qadr, all of those have details. Part of al-Iman, believing in the prophets and the messengers, is that you have to believe, we have to believe. They're the most eloquent of people. None of them have speech impediments. None of them stutter. None of them stutter. Da, 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 da. None of them do that. When they talk in Green Lane, the prophet gives a khutbah in a place, everybody in that place is going to understand what that message was. Some people may understand deeper than others, but no one is going to leave this place scratching his head saying, I found it inherently difficult to understand the message. Because that's not the message of the wahi that Allah Ta'ala sent to the people. Musa said to Allah Ta'ala before he sent him to Fir'aun, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Oh Allah, open up my breasts for me. Means make it so that I can handle dealing with this Fir'aun. Fir'aun is a problem. He's saying and he's doing things that when you hear that, it's like if you're on a WhatsApp group of crazy people, you know, liberal Muslims. People will say anything, like I heard somebody say. Someone sent a dua from the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood to a WhatsApp group that was. You know those WhatsApp groups, they just pile up, take all your data. Someone sent out the dua, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from leprosy and from junoon. The person on the group, these liberal people, wrote back and said we shouldn't spread these types of hadith out because if we spread them out, it's as if we are being prejudiced towards people who are sick. So don't send these hadith out. As if the hadith is talking bad about people who have leprosy or people who have junoon or people who have poison or people who have these serious illnesses. This hadith is not talking against them. This hadith is telling you, ask Allah to protect you from that sickness. So when you read that, the first knee-jerk reaction is, what kind of people are these? I'm getting off of this group. People don't know. You can't say stuff like that. And if you don't know, then don't be so opinionated. Ask people first. Ask people first. So Musa, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, asked Allah, make it so that I can inshirah as-sadr. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Didn't Allah open for you your breasts, ya Muhammad? One meaning of that is, Allah made it so that you can make a tahammul and you can handle all of these things that people are saying and doing. Doesn't make any sense. Because you get upset and just cut them all off. But he didn't do that. He had a lot of sabr. Like with our children. You have to ask Allah to open up your breasts. Your child. Your wife. She has to ask Allah. Open up her breasts. Her chest. With you. With her children. And make easy for me my affair, Musa said. And untie the knot that's in my tongue. Perchance they understand my words. So the prophet and the messenger wants his words to be understood. And as I mentioned to you before, untie the knot in my tongue. Some people said, as it relates to that ayat, when he was a young boy, he took a burning coal and burnt his lip, burnt his tongue. There's no authentic dalil for us that causes us where we have to believe that. And it doesn't seem to be something that's true because this is just a dua. I don't want the people to misunderstand what I'm saying. Before we move on to the next chapter, Khwani, you should know, the non-Muslims of Quraysh, the munafiqun, the hypocrites that were with the Prophet, they used to do that as well. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to do the same thing. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُ إِلَيْكَ حَتَّى إِذَا خَرَجُوا مِنْ عِنْدِكَ قَالُوا لِلَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ مَاذَا قَالَ آنِفَ ماذا قال آنفا. Allah talked about the hypocrites with the Nabi of Islam. Prophet Muhammad is sitting with the people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You need money? Ask him. He'll get it for you. You want to get married? You're young, you don't have the ability? Ask him. He's going to help you, inshallah. You need advice? You need support? Ask him. He's going to do what you need, inshallah. And if he doesn't give you what you're asking for, he's going to give you some information. He's going to give you some guidance that may be better than the thing you were asking for. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's sitting with the people and he's talking to the people and he's talking to the people. Allah said, from them are those who listen to what you have to say. Until when they get up and they leave from you, they go to some of your companions who have knowledge and they say, well, what was he talking about? What did he say? Wasn't you just there when he said what he said? The little kid understood what he said. The man sitting on the wall understood what he said. The one over there in the corner, he understood what he said. Some of the brothers who didn't come today because they're scared of corona, so they're looking at the thing from their house. They understood what he said. Why are you doing that? It's istihza. They're being arrogant. So this thing about, did you hear what he said? And it's similar to what we used to hear, these people who were on these political dawah, the qutbis. Yeah, they were on that political dawah. They used to say that the scholars of Islam, our scholars of the sunnah, who used to tell people, don't make khuruj, don't make takfir, make a tasfiyah, wa tarbiyah, and give advice like that. They used to say, those scholars are scholars for dollars. Those scholars are the scholars of women's menses. Those scholars don't understand the waqi. Those scholars, what'd he say? What'd he say? Same thing. Same thing. The Imam, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, went on, ikhwani, and he mentioned, in regards to the Yahud and the Torah, Allah sent, this is a new chapter, Allah sent the nur of Islam and the haqq and the dawah and al-hidayah through Musa in the form of the Torah. He brought it to Bani Israel. Instead of Bani Israel taking the Torah, they said, nah, we're not going to take the Torah. We're going to study and say, we're going to take this magic. Sulaiman brought magic. No, Sulaiman brought the Dawah of al-Islam. He brought Tawheed and he brought what people needed to know. The Imam, he brought that statement here. وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَهُمْ نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُو الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. Allah said here, and when their messenger came to them with that which was confirming what went before it. He brought that, a group of Ahlul Kitab, those people giving the book, they put the book of Allah behind their backs as if they didn't even know about it. And instead of following the book of Allah, they followed what the Shayateen read during the time of the kingdom of Sulaiman. Sulaiman didn't disbelieve, but the shayateen disbelieved. They taught the people magic. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلْ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. They taught the people magic and what was revealed on the two angels at Babylon, Harut and Marut. So their prophets brought them the religion, the kitab, the sunnah. The people put the kitab behind their back and looked for something else. Wallahi, ikhwan, it's the same thing that we have today. We have those people who they want to take magic off with magic. And the magic that they use, they have these letters. They look like hieroglyphics. You can't even understand them. It's just gibberish. It's just gibberish. Write some stuff and burn it into ashes. Put it in your orange juice and drink it. Gibberish. The number 786, is it 786? What does that 786 mean? Anybody know? Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't have anything to do with the price of peanuts. It's something people made up. Wallahi, get a piece of paper before you do your exam, 786. And that's a good sign. Man, you did an innovation right there. 786 doesn't mean anything in the deen. 666 doesn't mean anything in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of taking the kitab, we want to take this craziness. وَنُنَزِّرُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ الشِّفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Read the Quran and it'll be a shifa from corona and all that other stuff, inshallah. But instead of reading the Quran, people are going to take that black string. You guys know the black ribbon? You know the black ribbon, man? You know the black ribbon? We're going to put the black ribbon on your exhaust, on your door. This, wait, what are you doing? As it relates to this ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, Some of the Mufassirin said, as it relates to Sulaiman and everything, it didn't come with an authentic chain of narration, so you're not obliged to believe it and to believe in it. But many of the ulama of tafsir brought this Ibn Kathir other than him. They said that during the time of Sulaiman's kingdom, he had a miraculous kingdom. He was in charge of all those animals, the ants. He could hear and understand their statements. Bilqis, or they call her Bilqis, the queen of Sheba, the queen of Saba, going towards Yemen there. She had a mighty army and a big kingdom. Sulaiman asked his army, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جَنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Only Allah knows all of his soldiers. Who can bring me the throne of this lady? Who can bring me the throne of this lady? One of them said, I'll bring it to you before you get up from here. The other one said, I'll bring it to you, the Ifrit. I'll go and get it and bring it here before you get up from your sitting right now. The other one said, I'll bring it before you black, you close your eye and you open up your eye again. How are you going to fight Sulaiman? How are you going to stand in front? Sulaiman had the jinn diving under the water. The water that they still don't even know everything about that ocean. They was diving into that water, bringing up pearls and treasures to Sulaiman. Sulaiman had money. And he used to worship Allah. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'matika allati an'amta 'alayya. He was a shukr for what Allah gave him and gave his father. Subhanallah. While he was doing that, they said he had some books of magic. Allahu a'lam. During his life, he buried those books under his throne. After he died, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, the shayateen came and dug up those books and said, hey, this is what Sulaiman was judging with and by. This is what he was judging with, and this is what he was judging by. And the Yahud took that. To this very day, there is a prominent place of a sihr in the Jewish faith, like the Karbala. Is it Karbala? Karbala. Isn't Karbala in Iran? What is it? Kabbalah, right? Shukran ya akhi. They have that to this very day. So they took that and they became practitioners of magic. Very important point, Ikhwan. You got to pay attention to this point. The ayah said, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُ. Sulaiman didn't disbelieve, but the shayateen disbelieved. This ayah goes to show, if a person learns about magic, you go outside of this religion. You become a kafir billahi to learn about magic. Because Allah Ta'ala showed the bara'ah of Sulaiman. Allah showed Sulaiman is free from kufr. And then Allah established, so that's a nafi. Allah negated. Sulaiman is not a kafir, but the shayateen who learned that magic, embraced that magic, they are the ones who are the disbelievers. It is not permissible to learn magic. Not the sleight of hand and not that other magic causing people to love and causing people to hate and all of that stuff. It's not permissible. So one of the things that the people did is that they made the tabdil. They changed what Allah revealed divinely and followed stuff that was manufactured and created by them or whoever that case may be. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam min al-mu'minin rijal sadaqu ma ahadullah alayhi fa minhum man qada nahbahu wa minhum man yantazir wa ma badalu tabdila. Companions didn't change anything. From the believers or men, may Allah be pleased with them, they have made their contract and their agreement with Allah and they stuck to it. From them are those who made the ultimate sacrifice and they were martyred, fi sabilillah, after leaving Mecca, after going out, fighting for al-Islam, leaving their children and their wives, and they lost their lives for this religion. They made the ultimate sacrifice. And from them are some who are still waiting. Those who did not get killed and they were still fighting and so forth and so on. And then Allah said they didn't change anything. They didn't change anything. The Nabi never told them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make Ali ibn Abi Talib the Khalifa after me. And then they came and said, nope, we're going to change it, make Abu Bakr. They never did that. They never did that. They never, ever, ever, the Nabi taught them a Tawheed. They never came and said, oh, Hazir, Nazir. They never said that. They never did anything about the Mawlid. They never did anything about this stuff that the people are taking as their religion. At-taqleed al-a'ma, blind follow, everything the sheikh says, everything the madhab says. No, they didn't do that. Radiallahu anhum. So these people, they replaced Allah's wahyu with the stuff that is not infallible. Last point, ikhwani, is that they said they contributed or attributed their falsehood and they put it on the prophets and the messengers. He took that from the previous ayah, so he's making a new chapter. They used to take their falsehood and attribute that to the prophets and the messengers because they said Suleiman had this magic. Suleiman wasn't on magic. You people are on magic, not Suleiman. In the case of Isa ibn Maryam, Surah Al-Saf, وَلَمَّا أُفَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ إِسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. It's the beginning of that ayah. وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالُوا هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. And remember when Isa said to Bani Israel, verily I am a messenger of Allah to you people, confirming that which went already. Musa came before me, Suleiman, Dawood, all of them. I'm just confirming all of that they brought, especially the Torah. I have the Injil, I'm Musaddiq. And I'm here also to give you glad tidings about the messenger. His name is Ahmed. Allah said, when he brought them the bayinat, when Isa brought them all of the proofs, what's the bayinat? The way he was born. He spoke in the cradle, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. He gave life to the dead. The man was a leper. He cured him by Allah's permission. Isa did a lot of stuff for those people. A lot of miracles. He brought them the bayinat. They said, this is clear magic. It's clear magic. So the batil, the falsehood that they were upon, they would attribute it to their prophets and the messengers. Again, why is the imam saying that? Because this is what we have now. Ikhwani, this is what we have right now. We have people who are talking and they would attribute to the religion that which is false and it's not true. It's not true. You don't have to follow any madhab. You must follow. You don't have to do that. If you want to do that, in an open-minded, disciplined way, alhamdulillah. But people are coming saying, you must. What are you talking about? I must have a madhab. What are you talking about? You must follow what my sheikh said. You got to get up here. You have to say salaf. What are you talking about? You don't have to do that. People are making the religion what Allah didn't make the religion. And I'm talking about all of the groups in al-Islam and multiple individuals as well. So stick with that which has been revealed and find in what the companions were upon, may Allah be pleased with them, find that being sufficient for all of us. Okay, Ikhwani, we're going to stop here, inshallah. You brothers have any questions concerning today's 4 or 5 abwab, you could put your questions forward now. Yeah, go ahead, little man. How did Shaitan dig up the books? Whether it was, that's first of all, they said that's what happened. Allah knows best. I never read that hadith. I never read an ayah. Did that really happen? We just narrated that because that's pretty popular. So I don't know who dug it up. But let's say that it did happen. It could have been the real Shaitan who did it. He did it himself. Allahu Alam. Or it could have been the shayateen al-ins, you know, the human beings who are the shayateen. So it could have been some shayateen from the jinn who did it, or it could have been the shayateen from Beni Adam. Because, little man, if a person was teaching people magic, he's a shaytan. Even though his name may be Suleiman, and his mother and his father, his mother's name is Amina, and his father's name is Ghulayd. But if he's teaching people magic, he's a shaitan from the human beings. You got that? The important thing is that you remember magic is haram, and Suleiman, he brought the haq from Allah Azza wa Jalla. As for how did they get the books, this or what day was it? How many books was it? Did the dirt get inside the books? Were there any worms in the books? Nah, we don't spend a lot of time on that. Good question, though. Any more questions, Ikhwani? Any more questions? Father Yahi Yusuf. Huh? Yeah, that was a mistake. Karbala. That's why when it came out, Karbala, I said, nah, that's nothing. Our brother over there is so wabana. The Kabbalah. Jewish Kabbalah. I would say some people, I know some famous, rich musicians who, that's their religion. That's their religion. And they were amazed with this magical aspect of that part of their religion. They're not Hasidic Jews or traditional Jews. They just believe in that Kabbalah stuff. I don't want any young brothers going from here trying to find out what Kabbalah is all that. Don't do that. None of that stuff. Okay, Khwani, we're going to stop here, inshallah. Ta'ala, don't forget, want to remind you guys again, don't let these people freak you out of your mind with the corona. Corona is serious. It's serious. But it appears like the flu, the common flu that people get, is more serious than that. And most people jump back, you know, and they come back in terms of that common flu. But at the same time, we don't want brothers saying these crazy things that we've been hearing, that the flu is nothing and there's no real flu. Come on, man, people are dying from that thing. And how would you feel? How do you think people feel if you said that the flu was a joke and they got relatives who died off the flu? So be hygienic, wash your hands, and let's stop shaking hands, inshallah. No, I wouldn't say that. But if you didn't want to shake hands, I wouldn't be mad at you.